You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Kia ora, Kirsten, how are you this morning?
I am alive, and the rain seems to have just passed, so that's
a win. That's
brighter days.
That's what we like to hear. We're about to get extremely feedbacky, fuzzy, noisy this morning. What are we talking about?
So, noise rock, and I feel like everyone knows what it is. People know what it isn't, but to be honest, it's going to be really hard to describe. And I don't even know if that's what it was called when it was around. Sort of this weird revisioning of history. So, in the 60s, while the Beatles were doing their creative proggy thing in rock, there was another group of people who were really sort of involved with like artists and avant-garde and, you know, multimedia textures and
all that stuff.
Yeah, and they just went a different direction, and then some other groups incorporated that. In the 70s, and then in the 80s, a few of them became kind of, not mainstream, but, you know, it brought it into the rock trunk mainstream.
I'm going to hit this first track because it is 17 minutes long, which we're not going to obviously listen to all of, but I think it's worth getting a bit of it in there. I feel like the Velvet Underground, whatever song it is, they have such a distinctive chug to their guitar sounds.
See, it's really interesting to use the word chug, because I saw another comparison of metal and noise rock. Because they're both noisy, right? They both use volume, they both use distortion pedal. But that metal was the chuggier distortion, and this was a brighter distortion, but you're hearing the chug in the...
I'm hearing the chug of the strum, kind of like...
That's right,
like
that's right.
A train, almost.
So, yeah, it's literally noise plus rock, but there's anger, frustration, sometimes disturbing sort of vocals, a harshness to it, an atonality to it.
And it's interesting that you, as you say, this is almost like a revisionist title, because the long list of songs that sort of sit under the category of noise rock also sit in different genre houses from each other a wee bit too. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. And also, like, at the time, for instance, these weren't big hits or anything.
No.
So they changed the face of rock and what rock could do. They changed the possibilities.
Yeah.
And added to it. I could hit it sideways. Oh, just like Sister Ray said. So deadpan vocals, nihilistic. Here's another quote: consciously anti-beauty.
Same.
Oh, I heard there's a lot of interesting adjectives: crunchy,
yes,
painful, awkward,
okay,
ugly, uncompromising, mind-blowing, jagged edges.
Uncompromising is one of those ones that like press release loves to slap. Uncompromising.
Yeah, true.
You can imagine though, like this sound, particularly with the Velvet Underground, because they've had such an influence beyond their time, and as you say, like now, super mega band that probably everybody in the with an interest in music could name. You know, they've done so much across genre within, you know, their own sounds as well. But this kind of kind of crazy fuzzy noise sort of sparked a whole new generation of artists as well after them.
Yeah, that's why I think it's also kind of hard now, because it sounds so normal, but when they were doing it, it was not.
Someone says Velvet Underground is proto-motoric, is how they would describe it. Don't you know you'll stain the
carpet? This is a real deep dive. This is definitely a genre people like to talk about. So this was a comparison, again, with metal, the difference between metal and noise rock, that metal is muscles and steel cables, whereas noise rock is visual static and shattered glass.
That's actually true. That's very good.
That's quite a good description of it, I have to say.
But metal and noise rock have interplayed and fed each other at times, which is why it's confusing. And they even blend at the edges, such as lo-fi black metal. There you
what?
Go. Yes.
But there's such a direct line as well from punk into what these bands like the Velvet Underground are doing. And as you say, super influenced by the world of visual art and that kind of downtown New York art scene as well.
Yes. So, yeah, there you hear some atonality and some improvisation.
This is Sister Ray, by the way, if anybody's trying to look it up, from the super deluxe version of White Light, White Heat, this particular one. We're going to head into, I guess, some of the people who are directly influenced by those sounds now. Different part of the world, though.
Yeah, so this is interesting, and they're not often... So this is My Bloody Valentine, 1987, you made me realize. They weren't included on everybody's list because, yeah, they weren't around that sort of USA thing. And this supposedly is the first shoegaze song. So they must have been looking down while they were singing this. Half an hour of noise sometimes on stage, just they would just add to the song. Wall of sound sensation, texture more than technique. And then these guys in turn influenced, you know, like the sort of indie rock in the 90s, Smashing Pumpkins and things.
It's quite interesting if you sort of almost look at it like a family tree where all the branches start to split off, eh? And, you know, it's a contentious family tree because even that whole thing about this is the first shoegaze song, there are people who very vehemently disagree with that, you know, but there's no doubt that they were the forefront of that new sound and that new movement.
Yeah, so, well, that's why I guess people don't know where to put it. So they're calling it noise rock now. People at the time, you know, were thinking punk, which now we probably don't even hear in this. You know, we see it as different.
Somebody says Roadrunner by the Modern Lovers is a similar vibe. Totally, like, that's a direct line between the Modern Lovers and the Velvet Underground. Jonathan Richman's like the biggest Lou Reed fanboy in the world. maybe not quite as big as Richard, though, who's texted in to say, best gig of my life, 1993 in London, up front with the Velvet Underground. That would have been amazing.
Wow. Here we go. So apparently live, you just did this rap now.
I mean, it's kind of incredible, isn't it? But I can also see not everybody's cup of tea.
Well, yeah, we used to call this BFM music.
Well, accurate.
But even going back to Velvet Underground, to think that so that song even we played came from an album that got really overshadowed by the Beatles' Strawberry Field. The Beatles' Sgt. Pepper. So, like, it was just such a different direction and vibe from what everyone else was doing, but it's just such a strong vibe that, you know, now we can see the tree branch, you know, moving ahead to what we're playing now.
It's really,
but, you know, they're still singing, you know, and they have some tune and harmony.
I was going to say, it's really interesting, this track particularly, because it's actually even at the sort of scrappier end for My Bloody Valentine. They sort of cleaned up the fuzzy, noisy sound for their, like, most sort of, I guess, best-known albums, like Loveless, which is full of noise, but it's very melodic.
Yeah, so they talk, you know, some of the people talking about a lot, adding song structure and melody, because, yeah, these bands became, like, the thing, the popular thing. It became grunge in the 90s, you know, so that became rock.
Rowan, hold your horses, mate. Don't you worry.
Be patient.
We got some Sonic Youth for you, Rowan. He was saying, you can't discuss noise rock without talking about Sonic Youth. Don't worry, we're not.
Yeah.
So this is Silver Rocket. I mean, Sonic Youth is probably the band, as Rowan rightly points out, that people maybe most directly put under the category of quote-unquote noise rock, which, as we've already talked about, is sort of a weird amorphous category in its own right.
Oh, wow, what a rabbit hole. Bro, the research I did. But yeah, so these guys, everyone's list, and they got signed to a major label in the 90s, and so it, you know, they're a part of that journey when it kind of became, I don't want to say normalized as what rock does, but yeah, it grew from that experimental no wave, but it became indie rock, alternative rock. But these guys, you know, really, they would do alternative guitar tunings. You know, they really were trying to be noisy to sort of deconstruct.
Yeah. And I mean, they were all art school nerds. So yeah. Totally following in that.
And that was different than what, you know, other sorts of rock was doing.
Rowan's also pointed out some excellent New Zealand options, maybe Bail to Space and Mid to Late JPSE. Being in that world. The Gordons we've had a text for too, coming from the New Zealand land of noise.
Yeah, it was big in New Zealand. It really took off, yeah.
Someone reckons Mudhoney might sit in this world too.
Well, yeah, that's when your lines start to blur. And all these bands have women vocalists sometimes, so, you know, they were breaking the mold as compared to some rock, what some rock was doing.
Did you say more than one vocalist?
No, women.
Oh, women vocalists. I thought you said they had one vocalist.
Oh, no, women.
Women.
Yeah. So My Bloody Valentine, Sonic Youth, and sometimes Velvet Underground. So like, other rock bands weren't doing that then. Yeah. Noise. Here you go.
Someone says, where does the Jesus and Mary Chain fit into this? Maybe at this like later end, perhaps, where it starts to become something more in the adjacent world of like indie and shoegaze. I don't know, don't come for me, everybody.
I know.
I'm always terrified to put a label on anything in the guitar sphere.
But I guess the main thing is the intention of noise, and the sort of intention of kind of for the sake of artiness and deconstruction.
Yeah,
so like, you know, like I say, metal can be noisy too, but it's a different intention.
It's conceptual, baby.
Yeah. Okay, so to fans of the genre, I want to know, how do you know what's a good song?
You're about to start an absolute fight in the text machine. We've also had a lot of Dinosaur Jr. texts coming in, which is one that we almost picked as well this morning. But yeah, big BFM world, this
yeah,
song.
Yeah, and
sure.
It is a genre that loves to talk about itself, you know? It is a, you know, there's people that it's about thinking about it,
yes,
discourse about
totally.
It.
The discourse be discoursing when it comes to noise, for sure.
Yeah, which is cool. I love to see, you know, people are passionate about it.
Hard out. And I also think that when people push back against the concept of what a genre is or where the line is as well, that's when you get some really interesting conversations about, as you were saying, intention and why people were making things and the way they were doing it. It's all interesting.
Well, this whole genre, just we're talking about it, you can see it, feel it, taste it, smell it. It's there.
Yeah.
But yeah, to sort of try to put it, to catalog it, isn't always easy. And the lines get blurred and we have debates about, you know, where the edges are.
Totally. Thank you for bringing us a little bit of noise rock this morning, Kirsten. I hope you have an excellent weekend and we will see you next week.
All right.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimp.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.